is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Iranian missiles blew the windows out of Israel's main hospital in the south and destroyed apartment buildings in Tel Aviv this morning. But late word from Iran, a meeting is now set for tomorrow in Geneva with Iran's foreign minister and European counterparts as war with Israel enters its second week. It's fears of a wider war that concern Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth on the Armed Services Committee. She was an Iraq War Army pilot.
I just don't want us to get to a place where following whatever happens here, we're in a situation where our adversaries like the PRC or North Korea or Russia decide that they need to actually put a lot more effort into helping Iran.
Texas, a SpaceX rocket was being tested late last night when the Starship exploded, sending a fireball into the sky. SpaceX describes it as a major anomaly. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is Juneteenth. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
While the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863, it took 2 years to get the news to enslaved people in Confederate states. That news finally came to Texas on June 19, 1865, telling the last enslaved people in the country they were free. Governor Tony Evers raised the Juneteenth flag at the state capitol yesterday.
For 160 years, this day has been recognized across the nation to celebrate the true end of slavery in the United States. And in 1987, to bring this back home to Wisconsin, State Senator Spencer Coggs and Representative Marsha Coggs proposed the first legislation to recognize Juneteenth in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, it took us another 2 decades to get it right.
Wisconsin started marking Juneteenth in 2009. This is the sixth year in a row the flag has flown at the state capitol building. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Governor Tony Evers issued a statewide proclamation for Juneteenth in a press release earlier this week. Republicans in the state legislature are considering a big cut to the state budget for the UW system. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
They're reportedly considering an $87 million cut to the system's budget when the Trump administration is also threatening UW's federal funding. Democratic Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire.
They are doing research into Lake Altoona in my district as to why there's so much sediment coming through and why there's so much runoff. There's not a university in Altoona, but Altoona gets the benefits of that because it is the Wisconsin idea. Our universities, our higher ed goes everywhere. It impacts everybody in the state.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
UW system leaders had asked for over $850 million in additional funding in this budget. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers and Cubs today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and Cubs today at Wrigley Field. Last night's game rained out in Chicago. It's been rescheduled as a doubleheader for August 18th. NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers being sold to the corporation that owns the Dodgers for a price tag of nearly $10 billion. Jeannie Buss, whose family's owned the Lakers since 1979, will remain in charge of the team. NFL, Ed Policy takes over next month as the Packers' new president. I asked him how he'll be different than Mark Murphy.
I think you'll have a lot more similarities than differences between me and Mark. One thing that I will use every day that he really helped me develop is Mark was just probably the most inclusive leader. He hired great people, and then he used them. He would seek out their advice and their opinions whenever he was coming up with a decision. So I think that level of collaboration is something that I'm really grateful that he's passed on to me, and I intend to use it every day.
That's the Packers' Ed Policy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 83. For tonight, an isolated shower possible late, otherwise just partly cloudy and mild, a low of 63. Another warm one on Friday, a shower or storm possible mainly in the morning, a high of 84. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind the guy. J.B. Thompson joins me in studio. Then I'm joined by Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, June 19th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all of the different platforms. Thank you for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. When you had to read 1984 back in the day, I mean, we all wondered what the future would be like. How Orwellian did you really think it was going to be? And did you think it was going to be something that was going to come from the far left or the far right? I mean, we now know the answer. We now have a big brother, and now we have a speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly demanding the thought police on campus because he thinks that there's too much political correctness, which is just another way of saying, you know, we're debating facts and agreeing on what the facts are. But Robin Voss doesn't like that. And so we'll talk about the things that he's demanding. Otherwise, he's going to cut the UW system, which is already one of the least well-supported universities in the country in terms of support from their legislature. So we'll get into that. Also coming up on the program today, we are going to be talking about Juneteenth. The Juneteenth holiday is today. It is a holiday for an increasing number of people, and rightly so. As we talk about the origins of the holiday, it's a day marking true American freedom and is worthy of celebration for reasons we will explain coming up. It also helps kick off a true summertime arrival. I mean, the actual start of summer is what, still like 2-3 days away? But the festivals really ramp up starting this weekend, starting today with Summerfest and other festivals. Sherita Booker will talk to us about some of them. We'll talk to somebody from the Cranberry Blossom Festival in Wisconsin Rapids as well coming up today. All about things that you can do this weekend if you want to get away. In our third hour, we'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money and the markets, and we'll talk about cryptocurrency, which, you know, I'll put my bias right out there on the table because I don't think it's a bias. I think it is what it is. It's not real. It's a scam. I think it poses tremendous dangers to the economy, the American economy, the global economy. Without, at the very least, you can't wish it away. But like so many other things, there needs to be a proper, you define the term, amount of regulation. We need guardrails on this thing, or it will be, you know, the way that tulips were back in the olden days. All kinds of other things that have caused economic panics. And yet, because the crypto bros were so instrumental in helping Donald Trump win the White House, Trump, who himself was a crypto skeptic in the beginning, is now counting all that money he's getting and making steps along with his buddies in Congress to try to lend some legitimacy to the crypto industry. But putting your name on it doesn't make it any less risky. So we'll talk to Sean a bit about that. And Joe Zepecki will visit with us and talk about his run for state Democratic Party chair and the path forward to better election outcomes coming up in 2026. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot about the weather for the weekend. She also has a story out on Civic Media about smallmouth bass fishing. So we'll talk a bit about that coming up today as well. And, of course, you can join us along the way. You can send us a text message or make a comment. You can text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can put a comment in the Facebook or YouTube pages for Up North News or for Civic Media. We'd love to have you along. And, of course, you can send us an email to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Upnorthnewswi.com is where you can also subscribe to our various emails, including the one today from Christina Laurie about Juneteenth and the origin of the holiday. Oh, and I haven't mentioned lately that on that Civic Media app, you can also leave us a voice note. It's a relatively new feature, and I haven't seen it used a bunch yet, just a little handful here and there. Maybe we need to talk about it a bit more and encourage people to use it, but it is there. Go to any Civic Media station, and you can either hit the button for text or call or voice note and leave that voice note for us. Taking a look at Brittany Merlot's forecast for the state today, she says, even with the spots of sunshine to start, we are still stuck in an active pattern for showers and storms until the front lifts north for the weekend. There has already been issued an extreme heat watch for Saturday and Sunday in parts of Wisconsin. Her state forecast for today says partly sunny and warm, spotty showers and storms late this afternoon, highs in the upper 70s up north, mid-80s south, with a west wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered showers and storms possible tonight. Lows will be in the upper 50s up north, mid-60s south, with a southwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And again, more from Ms. Merlot coming up in our second hour, where I will also ask her about the sun getting up so much earlier now this time of year, and some of us are waking up earlier than ever. Not Parker Olson, who's standing by in Madison's Studio A2. He wakes up too early as it is for a man of his age, which is...
This is true.
What time are you getting up nowadays for this gig?
4.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. I mean, that's humane, you know. Roger on Facebook says, yeah, astronomical twilight is the term. Yes. In fact, Roger, even in one of the Facebook pages, puts a link to a website called timeanddate.com, timeanddate.com. And Roger, that's exactly the site that I'm talking about that I look at and say, you know, what do you call it when the sun is, you know, it's not up yet, but it's starting to get brighter out there? And so yeah, we'll talk to Brittany about that. Greg in Waukesha says, good morning. Thank you so much for that. Oh, Tony reminds me, I haven't mentioned the other Facebook page, the one that's called Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. The one that Tony suggested I name after the radio show. Crazy, huh? So
who'd have thought of that?
I know. Tony also asking if I've fired Parker yet for drinking too much water. Why would I do that?
Is that something I should be worried about, Pat?
I wouldn't think so, but
okay.
I don't know. Anyway, where are we at? Thursday, I'm talking about the festivals and things that are getting going this weekend. And are you looking ahead to doing anything over the weekend? Do you go to Summerfest or will you be doing Mallards games?
I'm doing Mallards games. I would really like to get out to Summerfest at some point this year because I don't think I've ever done straight up Summerfest. I've done Irish Fests a couple of times, but never the actual Summerfest. That would be very fun to do. I know Hozier is there and I would love to see Hozier there. Mm-hmm. I asked a buddy of mine to go to that. And he goes, oh, I'd love to. Hang on. I have tickets for one other show at some point this summer. Let me check. And it is that exact day.
All right. So, well,
yeah.
What are the odds?
Of course.
Well,
yeah.
Well, 1 in 365. What am I saying? Alicia tells us it's a foggy morning in Marinette, and Tony explains, asking if I'd fired Parker because he hadn't shown up yet for the first 10 minutes of the show. Well, yeah, that's where I'm still waking up and rambling on and telling you what's coming on the show and what I've seen. And it's really not, it's not fair to Parker to subject him to that until I'm fully awake. It takes a good 10 minutes of endless talking before I really get going here.
The coffee really starts flowing once you're
It really up. Starts kicking in at that point, yeah. The Brewers and Cubs were rained out at Wrigley Field last night. Sure is a shame they don't have a dome or something like that down in Chicago, isn't it?
Yes, but also I am a big fan of outdoor stadiums in baseball.
I am too. Have you ever heard of these domes that retract, these roofs?
Well, okay.
You can open and close them?
Well, they're not open enough, let me tell you that.
I think they're cool. Chicago does not have those, so the Cubs got rained out. The White Sox got rained out. The Tigers got rained out in Detroit. Games in Cincinnati and Washington, D.C. were delayed by rain. I'm looking at the MLB Network thinking, got to get my baseball fix somewhere. And they're just showing field after field after field where the tarp is down and the rain is coming down. And so for the Brewers and Cubs, it will all get made up as part of a day-night doubleheader on Monday, August 18th. So the makeup game will be in the afternoon, the regularly scheduled game at night. The two teams are scheduled to wrap up their series this afternoon. It is not clear if the Brewers are going to stick with rookie Jacob Mizorowski, who was supposed to get his second major league start last night. And you can catch the pregame starting at 12:45 this afternoon on several Civic media stations. And Roger puts on Facebook, WIAA State Baseball wraps up today with the 4 championships. Best of luck to Pacelli. Go Cardinals. So thank you for that. Is that today? Championships are today, huh? Oh, yeah, it's the 19th. Yeah. It is. Wow.
It's a big day.
I do not. Yeah, I don't have the lineups in front of me here. NBA Finals, Game 6 is tonight in Indiana. Oklahoma City could clinch tonight, or the Pacers could end up forcing a Game 7. We've also got the WIAA Girls Soccer Championships running, through today in Milwaukee as well. Let's see, Tony puts up on YouTube, I love doubleheaders, always pulling for the other team to go to the bullpen early so that they are in trouble for the night game. That's the thing. Some pitchers, who was it that had a complete game against the Brewers last week, you know?
Oh,
and there's
yeah.
so few complete games. So you got to be careful with that, Tony. You root for the bullpen, and next thing you know, their starting pitcher gets hot. And
Knowing the Brewers' luck, yeah.
Yeah. Although the Brewers, I saw a stat last night. I mean, their starting pitching overall is still the 5th best ERA in the major leagues. So
as our bats so often are just happens, awful. Yeah.
So, yes, as so often happens with this team, I mean, you're putting baling wire and whatever else, you know, using some gum and whatever, however you can MacGyver the pitching staff, and we still do okay, but, you know, the injuries are keeping us from really firing on all cylinders. So,
yeah, it'd be nice to have somebody just absolutely start cranking homers all the time. That'd be really cool.
It would be wonderful. I have one last sports thing to ask about, and I'm uncomfortable going here, but I have to. It's about the WNBA and Caitlin Clark.
Oh, boy.
Caitlin Clark is a generational talent.
Yes.
And she's the best thing there in that league.
Yes.
And the women playing against her, I mean, they ought to be shaking her hand constantly because their paycheck is going to get a little bigger because of her. And instead, I mean, they are just clotheslining her, poking her in the eye, knocking her down. Finally, one of her teammates, you know, Sophie Cunningham, came to her defense and got ejected for doing that. And it leads me to this question. And again, I don't like asking this, but I feel like at this point, you know, she should be treated with much more respect. Instead, she's getting beat up like this. Is all this fighting, all these altercations, is the WNBA like borrowing from the WWE playbook? Like they're not just going to watch basketball. So let's get them mixed up. Let's get some altercations in there. I don't like sounding that way. But again, why else would you be whomping on this woman who is single-handedly bringing your league up on stage? You know?
I would love to hear opinions from other players on her and her like personality on court and why they treat her the way they do.
And if that's the case, say so. But I certainly
I haven't gotten that impression, but I'm also not the one there on the court. Tony's saying, yeah, I have no idea why they're treating her that way. It is bananas. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. We'll discuss it, you know, at some point in the near future, I'm sure, after the next fight. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just finding us all kinds of new bumper music here from this new library that we get to dip into here.
Yeah,
so,
trying to keep you on your toes.
A Thursday morning vibe to it. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will not have our usual Friday guests, like almost any of them, well, at least for the first 2 hours of the show, because everybody's got days off or they're traveling or have other conflicts. So at 6:30 tomorrow, instead of Kiev Akil from Courier Newsroom, we will be talking to Catherine Hempstead, the senior policy advisor at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, because they just put out a new report on the Trump big bloated budget boondoggle. And if that thing holds, Wisconsin hospitals are going to see a $3 billion reduction in spending over the next decade. And there will also be a $900 million increase in uncompensated care in Wisconsin hospitals. And there will be Wisconsin hospitals that cannot survive that. This current bill is detrimental to the health of rural health care in Wisconsin. And so we'll talk to Catherine Hempstead about that study tomorrow. And also, in place of Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Jim Santel, believe it or not, I found one woman who can replace them all. And that would be the one, the only, Joan Esposito, Chicago broadcasting legend, is going to join me for the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here at 8:05 tomorrow and Mike Clemens with sports at 8:30. So a lot to cover, not your typical Friday tomorrow. Let's see, from on the text line. Oh, this would be Luke Mathers saying, I'm going to see Help me again here. It's Hozier, not Hozier, not Hozier.
Hozier.
Hozier. Should I go to French?
Hozier.
Okay.
Like Hozier. Like the word cozier.
Okay. Like cozier. Hozier. All right. Yeah. So Luke is going to go see him, them. Is this a Bon Iver situation where it's a band name, but it's one person?
It's, yeah. Yeah. One person, but it's a band. Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear on this. Grandpa wants to understand these things. So
I'm proud of
all right,
Grandpa.
Let's take a look at what's happening at the state capitol here, because it is, it's interesting. Because you have a University of Wisconsin system that is already one of the least supported in the country in terms of public funding by legislatures around the country. And we know why that is. It's part of an ongoing Republican war against education. It started with a war on teachers back during Act 10. And now Republican lawmakers want to drag the UW down further. Instead of considering requests from Governor Tony Evers, and not just Governor Tony Evers, but hundreds upon hundreds of business leaders who asked Republican legislators to better support the UW, and the governor put in a request for more than $800 million in improved funding for the UW system. Now, Republicans were never going to approve $800 in additional funding for the UW system. They might have done, you know, half of that or a quarter of that. They're not even going to do that. They are actually talking about cutting the level of funding further for the UW system. And why is that? Well, see the comments from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I mean, the only way to describe it is the perpetual whining about quote unquote political correctness. And has them, thank you. Oh, there he is now. It has them demanding changes in how ideas are discussed. I mean, I am no expert on Orwellian literature, but how much closer to, you know, the thought police can you get? A lot of this started with our colleague Todd Alba, who had been talking to folks in the Capitol, and got word of this possibility that rather than just a diminished level of increased support for the UW, they might actually cut the funding. And for a little while, Republicans were playing rather coy with it. And then, you know, Robin Voss, you can always count on him to eventually say, you know, the quiet parts out loud and say, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Because according to him, the UW system had not done enough to ensure conservative students feel like they belong on campus. Well, let's look at that for a bit. What is the track record so far of the current conservative movement? Because, again, the Orwellian parallels are striking. Because in 1984, you've got a Ministry of Truth that works to rewrite historical records. What are we seeing now with the so-called DEI attacks, which are nothing more than trying to erase the history of Black Americans and Native Americans and the LGBTQ community? So we have something close to a Ministry of Truth and a hostility in this legislature as well that wanted to cut the UW system last time around until the various DEI positions for diversity, equity, and inclusion, the horror, were gutted. And of course, I mean, there's the official government actions taken against those who fall out of favor with the ruling party. They become unpersons in the 1984 novel, unpersons disappearing with all evidence of their existence destroyed. Well, we are certainly seeing more of Trump using secret police to disappear people, including American citizens, until Big Brother is confident that they are who they say they are. I don't know, Winston. I'm just telling you to figure it out more quickly that if the people who are trying to erase history and disappear people are now demanding changes in political thought, you might want to rethink whether these are the best people who would lead our University of Wisconsin system, our legislature, and our state. We will check in with Melissa Baldoff. Our climate check report yesterday turned much more toward some of the politics involved with her husband, Joseph Pecky, running for chair and much more. So that's all coming up yet on this edition of Mornings Powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Headlines in the Middle East. No surprise that farmers need to keep an eye on petroleum prices. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news and a quick reminder. Today is Juneteenth, and that means not only federal offices will be closed, but the markets will be closed as well. If you're a producer that is trying to hedge ahead on fuel needs for the harvest, you might want to take a look at what's available right now. That's the advice of Gas Buddies' Patrick Dehan. He's a senior petroleum analyst, and he says, despite the conflicts in the Middle East right now, diesel prices aren't looking too bad.
Gasoline, diesel prices remaining at some of the lowest levels for this time of year in several years, but there likely will be some impacts to gas prices and diesel in the week ahead as the jump in oil from last week is started to be pushed down to the retail level. But those increases likely will be limited, with oil prices now showing a big decline today of nearly 4%. So any increases that motorists and consumers of diesel will see here in the next few days will likely unwind as we get closer again to July 4.
Patrick Dehan with Gas Buddies. He says there's a lot of variables that are influencing gasoline and diesel prices. He expects oil prices to return to their mid-$60 a barrel level range, something to watch for. We're watching the markets for you on a Thursday morning. I've got numbers next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your Soy Checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Markets are closed today. Yesterday, December corn finished 5 1/4 higher at 444. November beans were up a half at 10.68 1/4. July wheat, 25 1/4 higher, closed at 5.74 1/4. July class 3 milk that goes into cheese was down 28 cents, 17.68. Barrel cheese dropped 8 at 169. 40-pound block down 6 1/2, 169. And AA butter down a nickel yesterday, 2.52 3/4 per pound. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and warm for your Juneteenth with a high of 83. For tonight, an isolated shower possible late, otherwise just partly cloudy and mild, a low of 63. Another warm one on Friday, a shower or storm possible mainly in the morning, a high of 84. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Check with political strategist Melissa Baldoff, who also had a busy weekend at the state Democratic convention, where her hubs Joe Zepecki will join us to talk about the campaign for state party chair. As usual, everybody puts on a unified face for Devin Remaker, but Joe could not have been more gracious in thanking Devin and William Garcia. And Melissa, I think you'd probably add a special thank you to all the folks who helped back Joe during his campaign. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yes, thank you so much to everybody who, supported Joe, of course, but also just everybody who was able to show up and attend the convention. It was a really lovely weekend. And it was, a fun and different experience for me, having been to so many of these as somebody who was a staff person for WISDEMS and helping to put on the convention for a number of years, and then attending them with various bosses or mm-hmm. candidates, clients over the years, and so this was my first one just kind of going to, and but not really just going to, because I was there with my husband running for party office. So it was a little bit different experience all around, but still a good one.
Yeah, very much so. And I had forgotten, and I've done this a couple of times now, showing my age, but the convention moved to a Saturday Sunday format recently. Well, I don't know how recently, but I was used to it being a Friday Saturday thing. And I will take note that former state party chair Mike Tate had a post the other day about that, this was an interesting experiment, but maybe we should revisit the Friday-Saturday format. I'm not going to say one is right or wrong. I don't know if it's preference or logistics or whatever you want to call it. But if it was up to me, I'd still make it more of a Friday-Saturday thing. I don't know if you notice any difference in terms of turnout and, who's
significant, able to make it. Significant turnout. Difference. There were less than 1,000 votes cast for party chair at this convention. And the last time, 10 years ago, the last time there was a very hotly contested party chair's race, there were like 1,400 mm-hmm. votes cast. So it was a significant drop off. And there was also a big drop off in the number of delegates that registered versus who voted. I agree with Mike Tate that it's, an opportunity to look at, did the old format work better? I know that part of the reason people in the first place wanted to switch to Saturday and Sunday was just concerns maybe about, is that easier for people, than trying to take Friday off of work. But, I think that there's, good points on both sides. Like you said, it's something to look at. I would also say it's something to look at if there are virtual options for attendance, if there are ways that people can, maybe vote for a party chair, at their, congressional level caucus. I just think there's a lot we can talk about as a party to be more inclusive, to make this more accessible, because, going away for a weekend in the Dells over Father's Day weekend is not cheap. And, we want to bring in more people. And, if you can't afford to go stay at a resort or a hotel nearby for the weekend, you're priced out of going. If you're maybe somebody who doesn't work, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, and you have to work on the weekends, then you're not able to go. If you're a single parent who doesn't have anyone to watch your kids so you can go, those are all things that make it, put up a barrier to people being able to participate in the process. And as Democrats, we believe in making our party more accessible to everybody. And, if we want to bring in more people and get them as a part of the process, I think it's worth conversations.
From Ardith on Facebook, I was sorry to see Joe come up short, but I hope you two will continue to be very visible because I think you are the future of Wisconsin fair and honest government. That was nice of you, Ardith. Thank you for
putting that up. Well, that was very kind to hear. Thank you so much, Ardith.
And not everybody from the family could be a part of the convention because there was split allegiances. There were people that had to get over to Polish Fest, but for good reason, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. So usually our family is at Polish Fest, and usually quite a number of Joe's family is working at Polish Fest. And this year we have royalty in the family. I am so proud of our niece Everett, who is a Little Miss Polish Fest princess. We were so sad that we were not able to be there in person to cheer her on in her pursuit of the crown. But other family was there to support her, cheer her on. We got to see video and are so proud of her and her sister, Micah, who was also a runner up in her age group. So we're very proud of our little Polish princesses and look forward to, celebrating Everett's reign alongside her and being at other festivals with the family over the summer.
That is just wonderful. And I do believe German Fest is another big one that you and Joe like to attend.
Absolutely. So anyone who wants to see Joe again, who likes what they've heard and seen from Joe Zepecki, can come find him at German Fest, where he will be, grilling brats.
Yes, again, July 25th, 26th, 27th. That's where you'll find Joe. So there was my conversation, part of it, with Melissa Baldoff yesterday. We then got into more of the traditional climate check discussion, and it's a lot easier to simply sum it up this time around, because I may have mentioned it during this hour yesterday as well, that Republicans in the U.S. Senate have taken a look at what Republicans passed in the U.S. House for their version of Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. And they have heard the hue and cry from people about, tremendous cuts to Medicaid and other vital services. And Senate Republicans answered that with a bill that calls for more and deeper cuts to Medicaid and other essential services. Why deeper cuts? Because there's actually some cuts from the House Republican bill that they want to pull back, not the cuts to Medicaid, but the tax credits that would go toward clean energy, job creation, new industries, things like that. As we've discussed several times with Melissa on the program here, when the Inflation Reduction Act passed, and it was the most landmark piece of legislation in terms of making investments that would be good for the climate and reducing our dependence on fossil fuels, the initial benefits from the Inflation Reduction Act have been going predominantly to states that have Republican members of Congress and Republican senators. It's working as well in red America as it is in blue, as you create the solar farms and the wind turbines and everything else. And Republicans are looking at this and going, well, I don't want to lose those. So to preserve the tax credits that are bringing some jobs, because they're not bringing jobs to those areas. It was Joe Biden and Democrats passing the Inflation Reduction Act that brought jobs to rural America. And so their feeling is, well, I don't want to lose the jobs, so I'll endanger everybody's health care. So the Republican bill has even deeper cuts. And of course, Melissa's reaction was that this is really no surprise that while everybody is happy to see the tax credits continue, by and large, you still have a bill that is, a big bloated boondoggle at this point. And you have people like, Ron Johnson still demanding even steeper cuts, which, by the way, I don't really buy. And I'll want to run this by Joseph Pecky and others at some point here. Ron Johnson's saying that the current Trump big bloated budget boondoggle bill drives up the deficit too much. And he's right. I mean, it's $3-4 trillion that drives it up. And so he says he'd like to see maybe things like more cuts, more spending cuts, more Medicaid cuts, things like that. But what's he really want? Because this is the same game that he played 8 years ago for the first Trump term and that tax plan that passed in 2017. And he was a no initially on that as well, until he got in a real sweetheart deal for a certain type of corporation called pass-through corporations that he later acknowledged he benefited from personally and quite handsomely, as did some of his billionaire campaign donors. They were able to hold on to hundreds of millions of dollars that they otherwise would have rightly paid in taxes. So if you don't want the deficit going up further, your answer is to get rid of a lot of these sweetheart deals that billionaires are using, because when they don't have to pay their fair share of taxes, who makes that up? You do, because I'm assuming you're not a billionaire. But Ron Johnson's not going to go for that. So what is it that he's looking to get this time? I'm going to be very curious to find out, because this is not done. I know there's all this talk about, wanting this to be done by the 4th of July. That's not going to happen, because, again, I've watched the parallels to the Affordable Care Act, where, again, they wanted to get this done, as early as possible in 2009. And, of course, it dragged into 2010. And by that time, it was election season and folks took out their frustrations because Congress couldn't get things done quickly. Congress very rarely gets things done quickly. And if they do, there's a reason for it. What's the old saying? You can have something cheap or fast or good, any two of those three. And the same goes for legislation as well. Looking at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I wanted to call your attention to an article by Sophie Carson in yesterday's edition. The headline, Wisconsin Tourist Towns Need Students with J-1 Visas. Trump's pause scares businesses. We have not talked nearly enough, again, about the economic impact of Trump's plan for mass deportations of the very workers that our economy needs most in this day and age. We have talked about it from a farm standpoint repeatedly, and it's no less true. But we haven't said nearly enough about, the tourism season in Door County, in Wisconsin Dells, in places up north, Minocqua, Hayward, things like that. The article in the Journal Sentinel talks about, for example, Al Johnson's Swedish restaurant in Door County, where the staff will serve up to 1,500 diners a day. And about a quarter of its 119 workers are students from other countries who work for about 3 months on what are called J-1 visas before returning home. And it gets to this point about visas. Okay, we have student visas. We have visas for migrant workers to come in and harvest crops. We don't yet have a visa for year-round agricultural work because cows need to be milked year-round. My point is this, whether it's student visas, agricultural visas, a host of other types that are out there, we have a system in place. The system just needs to be fixed. The system is not kept up with the times, the needs of the workforce, the needs of the nation. And so because it's not working right now, it is susceptible to very heavy, targeted, race-based attacks. And that's what we're getting from Donald Trump. And while we're seeing mass deportations in a way that is truly harmful for the economy, but it makes some other people feel good for all the wrong reasons. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's today's history lesson. We've got a birthday today. This would be Ann Wilson from Heart. Just so much vocal talent there. Ann Wilson is 75 years old today. Ann Wilson and her sister Nancy started Heart so long ago and is just classic rock legends. Actress Zoe Saldana is 47 years old today. Rapper Macklemore is 30. Today in 1910 that the first Father's Day was celebrated in Spokane, Washington. Thai stores have been busy ever since. All right, so this is Ann Wilson singing Straight On. Our next birthday in today's history lesson has a song called Straight Up. Here's Paula Abdul. Paula Abdul is 63 years old today, and she can still dance better than you.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Use it or lose it. She continues to use it. The first ever NASCAR race was held at the Charlotte Motor Speedway this day in 1960. So the first NASCAR race was 65 years ago. NASCAR is now a senior citizen. Congratulations, NASCAR. Yeah.
How safe do you think that was back then?
Not the answer is not. Not safe.
Cool.
Not even close. No. Let's see. On this day in 1965, The Supremes had been number one with Back in My Arms Again. They were knocked off the top of the chart by the Four Tops with this one. So a little note about both of these songs, The Supremes' Back in My Arms Again and I Can't Help Myself by the Four Tops. Both were written and produced by the legendary team of Holland Dozier Holland. They were made up of Lamont Dozier and brothers Brian and Eddie Holland. During their tenure at Motown throughout the 1960s, Brian Holland and Dozier, not Dozier, Dozier.
I knew you'd say it.
Were the composers and the producers, while Eddie Holland wrote the lyrics and arranged the vocals for hit after hit after hit after hit for the Four Tops, the Supremes, and many more, including 10 of the Supremes' 12 number one songs. Holland Dozier Holland. They were pretty good. Let's go fast forward just a couple of years to 1971, where the number one album was by Carole King.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place?
Carole King's Tapestry album would hit number one and stay there for 15 weeks. And I don't have the number in front of me anymore, but stayed on the charts for some ridiculous amount of time. Because, I mean, it was, you had to have it from 1971 onward in your record collection. You just had to. Let's go up to 1978. Garfield's first comic strip goes into nationwide syndication.
I like it.
So, yes. So the tubby little tabby is now, what, 47 years old? It's pretty old for a cat. And let's go to 2010 now. God, Katy Perry? She go back that far? Yeah, 2010. Katy Perry had the number one song. So California Girls hit number one. It was the first of five number one hits from Katy Perry's Teenage Dream album. Let's see. This is International Box Day. Yes, we have something that celebrates...
Boxes?
The box. Not Boxing Day, you know, which is that thing the day after Christmas. But, yeah, boxes. Let's celebrate the box.
Any specific kind of box?
Just a box.
Just a box. Know? All right.
Just a box, yeah. Go it's say National, thanks. National Martini Day. So for that last night, as I was enjoying one, I was reading up on the different kinds of vermouth that you would put in a martini, which is funny because, and the article I was reading notes that, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that nobody wanted to put vermouth in their martinis anymore. They just wanted the straight gin or straight vodka, you know, shaken or stirred, put a little olive juice in, maybe you don't. And vermouth is kind of making a comeback now. As people realize, much like bitters, you can make them in different flavors and get it just right for the cocktail that you want to have.
There you go.
So put that in your martini and drink
how you want it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is National Watch Day. Not with your eyes, but the thing that you wear on your wrist here. And no, you're not watching me.
I'm watching you, Pat.
Parker's making the symbol like watching you. No, Watch Day. And this is my chance to say, I love my Apple Watch, and I know other people have their Apple Watch, they have their smartwatch and all of that. I'm not taking anything away. These are miracles of technology.
Yeah.
Having said that, I do miss it, you know, again, this is, you have to be of a certain age and you have to have so much gray hair to say this. But when you can get a nice, you know, a fine watch, as they would say. You know, and I'm not talking spending $1,000 on it, although an Apple Watch is probably coming up on that much. But I had a couple of watches over the years. They'd since broken, and otherwise I'd wear them more often. But they looked really good. They were nice accessories to have. And I was kind of hoping by now Apple Watch would have like these bands and things that would make them look a bit more fashionable. You know, right now they all kind of look the same, you know,
yeah.
A bit.
They're all very, like, just basic. There's no ornamentation.
But we, you know, we couldn't foresee this back then. So who knows a year or two from now what we're going to be wearing on our wrist? I mean, it's very Dick Tracy.
You might have just tipped off Apple right now. Now
that's
they know
right.
what to do.
Yep. Yeah. They're gonna put a little more thought into, you know, juicing this thing up and making it look nice. So we have another busy hour ahead here on the program, live from Chippewa Falls here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Two more hours to go, in fact. And we will be talking about some of the festivals. We will be talking about Juneteenth and its origins and the Juneteenth flag being raised above the state capitol once again. And we'll talk to somebody from the Wisconsin Rapids Cranberry Blossom Fest that's coming up this weekend and hear all about Summerfest. All of it in our next hour here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Apartment buildings near Tel Aviv destroyed. A hospital hit in southern Israel as Iran hit civilian targets this morning, wounding 40. Israel attacked an inactive Iranian nuclear reactor, still hoping for the U.S. bunker buster bomb to penetrate the main nuclear facility. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
In the White House Situation Room, sources say Trump was briefed on military operations for striking Iran, including a plan to destroy Iran's Fordo nuclear facility deep inside a mountain using a weapon only the U.S. has.
Iran is sending its foreign minister to meet with the European counterparts tomorrow in Geneva. In Israel's other war, the Gaza Health Ministry says 12 people have been killed this morning trying to reach aid distribution sites. Mud and rock slides have rendered I-40 impassable through the Great Smoky Mountains. Hurricane warning for Acapulco, Eric, now a Category 4. This is ABC News.